Now in chapter 6, verse 1, we read, the question is asked. These that were skeptical at first and cynical, they now ask the question, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? And they say now, we'll help you find him. We want to see this one that you're telling about. We want to get a look at him ourselves. He must be wonderful. And the Lord Jesus said, the one that seeks is going to find. And he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Now will you listen to the bride? This is her last word in this book. No, it's not the last word, but it's getting down close to the last word for her. She says, verse 2, my beloved is gone down to his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed in the garden and to gather lilies. She located him. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. What assurance, what satisfaction, what joy. God is satisfied with Jesus. He's satisfied with him. This is my beloved son, he says. Hear him. And he's satisfied what he did for us on the cross yonder. And it says that if you come to him, you will not perish. You'll have everlasting life. What an invitation has gone out. He speaks of his bride now. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. And then down in verse 10, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Now, that's the other side of the rapture of the church. You see, we always look at it from our side, naturally we would, and we say the Lord himself will come from heaven, a shout, the voice of the archangel, his voice, the trump of God, his voice will be like a trumpet. He's going to call his own. But the other side, when the church comes into his presence, I tell you, when those of the angelic host see that, it's going to be one of the greatest sights that eternity will ever behold when his church goes yonder to meet him. I think that's going to be one of the most thrilling events, and certainly it'll be for us. And you have a picture of it, of course, when this girl, Rebecca, you remember, came back to meet Isaac. And you have Isaac walking in the field. Then he looks out yonder, and there comes that camel caravan. And Rebecca on the camel, and she lights off the camel and comes to meet him. And what a picture, what a glorious picture that will be when you and I go into the presence of Christ someday. And now we find here, verse 11, I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished, and the pomegranates budded. And I can't resist intruding this. I had a preacher friend that went in to speak to a bunch of unbelievers. They were actually, some of them college professors, really. But they're not as fruitcakes, far as life is concerned. Their theories have them way out in left field. And I asked him about it. I said, what did you think you accomplished? He said, all I did, it was scriptural. He said, I went down into the garden of nuts. No question about that. Well, let's move on. Verse 13, return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will ye see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. And he has made the statement that we are before the demonstration of his glory and his grace throughout all ages. That, you remember, is the thing we're told in Ephesians, the second chapter, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. All a created universe is going to see all of us, and none of us are worthy to be there, but we're going to be there. Why? Because he loved us and gave himself for us. How wonderful it's going to be. and we'll demonstrate the grace of God. We're there for His glory and for our good. May I say to you, I can't think of anything better than that.